This is a copy of what's called the Cyrus Cylinder. Cyrus was the Persian king, he's mentioned in the Bible, that conquered Babylon that night, 539 BC. And we have a good translation of what is on the Cyrus Cylinder. It's a record of Cyrus's boasts. You can find this in a periodical called Anet. It's a wonderful periodical. Stands for Ancient Near Eastern Texts, and it translates all of these ancient texts for us into English, where we can actually read what Cyrus was saying. Notice what Cyrus wrote on this cylinder. Without any battle, sparing Babylon any calamity, I am Cyrus, the king of Babylon. When I entered Babylon under jubilation and rejoicing, see, the Babylonians, the troops were happy Cyrus was there. There's no battle. The troops walked around Babylon in peace. I did not allow anybody to terrorize any place of the country of Sumer and Akkad. I strove for peace in Babylon and in all his other sacred cities. I returned to these sacred cities on the other side of the Tigris, the sanctuaries of which have been in ruins for a long time, the images which used to live therein, and established for them permanent sanctuaries. Cyrus goes on and he says, I also gathered all their former habitations, returned to them their habitations. Furthermore, I resettled unharmed in their former chapels, the places which make them happy. May all the gods whom I have resettled in their sacred cities ask daily Bel and Nebo for a long life for me. All of them I resettled in a peaceful place. Ducks, doves, I endeavored to fortify and repair their dwelling places. Does this sound like a cataclysm of any sort here? I mean, this is completely different than what Isaiah and Jeremiah predict concerning the destruction of Babylon. In fact, Cyrus was a polytheist, meaning he believed in multiple gods, and he went out of his way to make these Babylonian deities happy. He didn't mess up their sanctuaries or their temples, and he actually wanted them to be on his side, Bel and Nebo, so he could live a long life. Isaiah 13 and 14 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, if you care about details, have never happened in history. Certainly didn't happen in 539 BC when Babylon historically fell. One of the things Isaiah predicts is when Babylon falls, she will never be rebuilt again. Isaiah 13, verses 20 and 22. Jeremiah says the same thing. When Babylon falls, she will never be rebuilt again. Jeremiah 50 and verse 3. Has that prophecy ever been fulfilled? When we talk about Babylon, what country are we talking about? We're talking about modern-day Iraq. People are living in modern-day Iraq today, aren't they? But that's not what the prophecy says. The prophecy says that when Babylon falls, she'll never be rebuilt. But look at this long history of people living in the Iraq area. Herodotus gave Babylon's measurements about 450. Alexander the Great visited and died in Babylon, 323. Seleucus seizes Babylon, 312. This is long after Babylon fell to the Persians. Strabo pronounces Babylon's Hanging Gardens as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, 25 BC. Did you know that there were Babylonians present on the day of Pentecost to hear Peter preach? Acts 2, verse 9. A very important document called the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, was generated from Babylon. Babylon's name was later changed to Hakkal and mentioned as a Babylonian village as late as AD 917. Babylon ultimately became known as Two Mosques and Hilla, AD 1100. What's the point I'm trying to make here? The prophecies of total and final destruction of Babylon have never been fulfilled historically. If they've never been fulfilled historically, Isaiah and Jeremiah must be talking about something yet future. John Walvoord, the great prophecy scholar puts it this way. As far as the historic fulfillment of Babylon is concerned, it is obvious from both scripture and history that these verses have not been literally fulfilled. The city of Babylon continued to flourish after the Medes conquered it, and though its glory dwindled, especially after the control of the Medes and the Persians ended in 323, the city continued in some form or substance until AD 1000 and did not experience a sudden termination such as anticipated in this prophecy. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that if God means what He says and says what He means, then Babylon has to be rebuilt. Babylon has to be brought back to life. Babylon has to become the center of world authority. Why? To be destroyed in the manner that's described in these prophecies. As you study Jeremiah 50 and 51, and you look at things like a golden cup dwelling on many waters, intoxicating the nations, and so forth, and you read Revelation 17, and you read Revelation 18, there's a one-to-one parallel there. The prophecies of Babylon have never been fulfilled. Well, when are they going to be fulfilled? When Babylon is rebuilt. Well, where is that described? In Revelation 17 and 18. One of the things that's very interesting to note is Isaiah condemns the nations in Isaiah 13 through 23. And as you go through that long list, what you discover is there is not one oracle against Babylon, but two. There's an oracle against Babylon in Isaiah 13 and 14 that we alluded to a little earlier. There's another oracle against Babylon in Isaiah 21. Why is that? There's not two oracles for Egypt or Moab or Assyria or Edom or Tyre, but there's two oracles for Babylon. Why is that? Because Isaiah 21 is talking about the near destruction of Babylon. Daniel 5. Isaiah 13 and 14 is talking about the far destruction of Babylon. Revelation 17 and 18. So the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah concerning the manner in which Babylon falls, to me, become a key clue in our thinking that God is going to allow this one world project that Nimrod wanted to come back to life. The Antichrist will have some sort of influence over this city of Babylon in modern day Iraq so that she can experience a sudden termination as both Isaiah and Jeremiah predict. Well, that takes us to clue number three, and let's go to the book of Zechariah for just a minute. Zechariah chapter 5 and verses 5 through 11. See, what I'm doing is just putting the building blocks in place and showing you that God's Word is progressing somewhere. Zechariah 5, verses 5 through 11. This is something that happened to Zechariah that he saw in a vision about 519 B.C. It says this, "Then the angel who was speaking with me went out and said, 'Lift up your eyes and see what is going forth.' I said, 'What is it?' And he said, 'This is the ephah going forth.' And he said, 'This is their appearance in all the land. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up. And this is a woman sitting inside the ephah.' Then he said, 'This is wickedness.' And he threw her down into the middle of the ephah and cast a lead weight on its opening. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming out with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and heaven, and I said to the angel who was speaking with me, 'Where are they taking the ephah?' Then he said to me to build a temple for her in the land of," what's the next word? Shinar. Well, that rings a bell. Isn't that where the Tower of Babel was that we saw earlier? And when it is prepared, she will be set there on her own pedestal. What in the world did Zechariah see here?